The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Little after 9:30 this Monday morning. It's some of the chats we were having before. I went away. And left here, in a manner of speaking. We focused, though, on our very Irish attitudes to land. It was intriguing, the amount of correspondence we got on that. And people wanted to talk and they wanted to get support and they got in touch. And in fact, we're still getting messages from people, a lot of whom are struggling. And prior to that, I mentioned that the number of calls being made to the Samaritans in the last 12 months were hitting about 73,000 hours, which I thought was a breathtaking figure. And it brought to mind that there are people all over this country who may need to have what are essentially difficult conversations, but have no idea where to turn. Because we're great talkers, but we can often say nothing. And this is where the Samaritans come in. I want to talk to Aileen Spiter. Good morning, Aileen.
Good morning, Ryan. How are you?
It's really nice to talk to you. You're in Cork.
I am indeed. Thank you.
And you're very good to join us. I suppose where we need to go with you is London, because in some ways you are the essence of what the Samaritans experience is all about. Could you take us to 80s London and maybe describe your haircut?
Well, it probably would be better than it is now.
says Ireland.
Well, I suppose when I left university in the 80s, 1983, I went to Canada to do a master's and then went to London because, of course, like everybody else, there was nothing in Ireland. And also, I was absolutely over the moon to go to London. It was sort of the place to be. Half my class were there. But what I noticed fairly quickly was, on a Sunday morning, people were either recovering from the night before or they were washing their cars. Mm-hmm. Now, I'm not obviously not saying every English person does that. But, you know, coming from Ireland, where everyone goes to Mass and went to Mass in the 80s and the 90s, at that time, I thought, God, there must be more to life. Everyone was buying bigger houses and bigger cars. And I just didn't come from that sort of a background. My parents always said to me, you know, be satisfied with what you have. Try and be as happy as you can with what you have, that sort of thing.
Sure.
So a friend of mine was doing Samaritans. I had no idea what it was all about other than it helped people, and I thought, I'll go along to an information evening. Now, I was 22, and when I heard what they did, I thought, well, they won't have me because I've no life experience for that. But actually, what they do and what we still do is listen. Mm-hmm. And you don't need any experience for that. You just need to learn how to listen properly.
Do you remember any of the early calls? At 22,
Same as we're having now, I think. There hasn't been a massive change. Probably a little bit more then about people coming out as gay, probably not feeling accepted in society. So that has probably lessened a little bit, or maybe there are other organisations. But huge amount of people talking about relationships, and nowadays, I suppose, in the last year, a huge amount of people talking about feeling isolated and lonely.
I know. I mean, I don't know, but I understand what you mean. I often wonder about, you know, we have obviously the different organisations that can take a call from somebody, say, in an abusive relationship, and domestic violence relationship, which if you give it any moment in your day to think about it, how horrific it must be, and throw in a pandemic, obviously. Would you have taken calls like that? And how do you handle? I mean, listening is great, but what if somebody's saying, what do I do?
Well, actually, it's funny because I was only thinking about, because obviously we can't talk about individual calls because of the importance of confidentiality to Samaritans. But I remember talking to someone years ago who was in an abusive relationship. She knew she was in an abusive relationship, and I knew, but I was very young at the time. And I have to say, going on in my head was, for God's sake, would you get out of that? Mm. But really what she wanted to talk about was the fact that she still loved him. And that was what she rang about, because she was horrified because she still loved him. She couldn't understand how she did. And we had a very long call about her feelings. And, of course, that's where Samaritans are at our best, really, to be honest, is trying to help people sort out how they're feeling, what they want to do with those feelings, but mostly exploring them, because generally life doesn't allow people that sort of time and space to talk about that. And that's, I think, where Samaritans are best, you know. So, and just talking about how you feel really can help. And it sounds crazy because people say, oh, you just listen. And you think, no, we don't just listen. We listen, and we listen very carefully. And there's a big difference.
Listening is not as easy as it sounds.
No, it can be very tiring. You know, if you do 3.5 hours, and particularly, I think, at the moment, because maybe Samaritan Volunteers resilience may be down a little bit as well, it can take a lot out of you. But we have a fantastic support system, so we look after each other.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. I'm sorry, I'm going to bounce back a bit to the call about the woman in the domestic violence situation who says she still loves her, husband or her partner. I think that among all the difficult points for, those who are, who aren't in a domestic violence situation, one of the things they find it hardest to understand is how the person who has been beaten up emotionally or physically remains in love with the perpetrator of that of that cruelty.
It's very sad, really, isn't it?
Oh, it's desperate.
And I don't pretend to understand that. And I suppose, thankfully, that's one of the reasons I do Samaritans. I don't need to understand, and I don't need to be an expert in any of these things, because I'm there to, help her talk about that. And because we don't give advice, I mean, in some ways it's a relief. It's very liberating, because we don't give advice. We can then spend all the time she needed or anybody else needs to talk about their feelings. And there are other organisations out there who are experts in all those different fields. And what Samaritans are experts in really is listening.
The big one, obviously, with the COVID is it has to be loneliness. Is that, I would often associate Samaritans with, lonely callers.
Oh yeah, massive. I mean, obviously, originally Samaritans was there because someone died by suicide, and we do still get calls from people who are suicidal. But you don't have to be suicidal to ring us, and a huge percentage of our calls, people aren't suicidal. They may have thoughts, and I suppose the hope is that if you talk through how you're feeling, then you won't ever reach. Hopefully you won't reach that stage. We have lots of lonely and isolated people, elderly people, but also very young people, students, university students in particular, who are, I would say, lonely in the bedrooms of their homes rather than in student shares, you know, in the big cities and whatever, which is what they would have been planning for. You have a lot of people apologising, particularly older people, saying, oh, I'm really sorry now for taking up your time. I know there are people much worse off than me. We're incredible that way in Ireland, really.
Yes.
You know, we spent half the time apologising for ringing. And then you realise this person hasn't spoken to anybody for 24 hours. Like, she hasn't seen anybody, she hasn't spoken to anybody. And that's not uncommon, you know, there's because families are worried that they're going to pass on the virus. There are people are afraid to go out and meet their friends or even go out for a walk, and they're inside. And that's terrible. Now, I suppose the good thing is they've picked up the phone. And, you know, I'd hate to sort of be portraying a gloom and doom, because a lot of people, once they've spoken to us, do feel a lot better. So in many respects, picking up the phone is a huge sign of strength, that they're doing something about how they feel. And it makes a huge difference, and people say, you know, I don't want to take up any more of your time now. I'll go because I feel a lot better. And you think, well, that's as good as it can get, really, you know.
I've said it before, I say it again. Any one of us, including myself, can often be alone and not lonely.
Yeah.
And I wonder, could you help me in defining what loneliness looks like, in the sense that there could be some people listening today going, I'm never going to call the Samaritans because that's for lonely people. And I think I'm lonely, but I'm not sure. I'd love to talk to somebody, but it's not the Samaritans because I'm not that bad. You know, could you put a shape on that for me?
Yeah, I think, well, first of all, the it's amazing the amount of people say, well, I never thought I'd be the type of person who'd ring Samaritans.
Exactly.
The person who rings Samaritans is someone like me, and maybe someone like you, Ryan, ordinary people with ordinary lives whose lives have been turned upside down by in the last year. So it's difficulty. So, I mean, the worst case scenarios are people who can't get out of bed in the morning because they're just, they're so bored and they're so isolated that there's nothing to get up for.
Yeah.
But there are people who are not that bad and just have recognised that they need to talk to somebody. They've no human contact. And maybe we underestimate how important, well, I don't think we do anymore in the last year, but human companionship is really what most human beings run on. Well, I certainly do anyway. Now, I love time to myself, and I like to, you know, head out for a walk or be in the garden, but I know there's somebody there when I come home, or there's somebody. And if that was removed, which it can be quite easily in these circumstances, very quickly, you know, I think for the first 24 hours you'd say, oh God, the peace and quiet is lovely. But if you've nothing, if you've nobody to share it with, And people do ring their families and things like that, but they also don't want to burden their families. And I think Samaritans can carry that burden with them, even if it's for a little while,
yeah.
and ease the load for a small bit. But the people ringing us are ordinary people, always, not
yeah.
just during COVID. That's the beauty of Samaritans. You know, there's nothing really different between the people who call us and the people who are answering the phone, except that we're well trained to answer the calls, I suppose.
I was off for a few days, Aileen, as I was walking and walking and walking around the place, I noticed a familiar sight became apparent to me, which was women of a certain vintage, older, on their own, on a bench, be at a bus stop bench or near a park or near the sea or whatever it might be, eating an ice cream, reading a book or drinking a cup of coffee, very much on their own.
Yeah.
And here's what struck me. Two things. One, is it any of my business to go up and say, how are you getting on today? And are you well? And to try and make them feel less alone? Or, in other words, part of me had catastrophized these people and living alone and coming out just to try and meet somebody, and yet they're still just eating their ice cream on their own. Or do you walk by and say, none of your business?
Well, I mean, what's the worst that can happen if you walk by and say hello? They tell you to.
That's a great answer.
You know,
that'll do
me. I think you could make the difference to somebody's life. It actually reminds me of when I was in London, when I got on the tube first.
Yeah.
I mean, in the 80s, you get on a bus and you'd say hello to everyone. And I got on the tube and I went, hello, hello. And you could feel people move away. And I remember thinking, God, that's very sad. I mean, obviously a big city. And a friend of mine's husband, who was an only child, who was English, yeah. married someone from Dublin. And he got to the bus stop. And he said by the time he got into town, he was exhausted from the amount of people talking to him. Which had never happened in
yeah.
London, you
yes,
know,
because yes.
people keep their space. I think it's very important for us all to even just say hello to somebody can make a difference. You know?
I agree. We shouldn't lose that. I think in Ireland we're hard on ourselves, but we're better than we think.
Oh, we are. Most certainly we are. Yeah. We love the old chat, you know.
Oh, yeah. The chin wag.
The chin wag, exactly. You know, and I suppose, you know, Samaritans, we're inclined to, it's funny, we do this thing on the 21st of December for the last number of years where we go out in Cork, we go out onto the streets just to remind people we're there over the Christmas period when, you know, other support services might not be as readily available. And often people say, sure, you're like the fabric in society, you're part of the fabric of society, you know. And I was thinking, yeah, and why don't... You don't hear about Samaritans that much. And I was talking to someone about that, and they were saying it's because it reflects the people who do it. A lot of Samaritan volunteers don't like to tell people they're volunteering because it's a sort of a private thing, and the conversations you have with people, intimate can be misconstrued in the wrong way, but people are telling you some of their deepest thoughts. So we don't tend to shout it from the rooftops yet. We're 60, almost 60 years in Ireland. Belfast will be celebrating 60 years this year, and Dublin was 50 years last year. So we've been around a very long time. And I suppose I have the opportunity now to say thanks to the amazing volunteers. For example, we've missed a lot of them in the last few in months because some of them have been cocooning. And I had a call from one of the volunteers the other day who's in her 80s, and she said, I've had my second dose.
Yeah.
I'm booking duties for April. She was so excited to be coming back.
Isn't that
and you
gorgeous?
Just think, that's what Samaritan volunteers are about, really. Now, you know, I don't want to be blowing my own trumpet, but, like, they are remarkable people, really.
I know, and I'm being cruel when I say, unlike marathon runners and sea swimmers, you won't actually know who a Samaritan person is because they don't tell you.
No.
And this is the unsung hero element. That was quite snarky, but I'll take it anyway. the unsung hero element.
I take it up sea swimming.
See, now you're boring me. No. Do you have a dry robe?
No.
Oh, God, now I've lost you. Okay, Aileen. So much respect for the Samaritans all over Ireland who are available 24/7, says Debs, and were able to stay open throughout the pandemic because of their amazing volunteers. And I often think they are unsung heroes. That's what I'm trying to say here. So much respect. Another says, I rang the Samaritans a few times 7 years ago when my dad was diagnosed with dementia and I had two very young children, says Claire. The unique thing about them is their accessibility. I didn't have the time or the bandwidth to find a counsellor, sort out childcare, and then expect my feelings to flood out on demand like a tap. And with the Samaritans, I just rang when it hit me. I was mortified, but it was really helpful. I'm still embarrassed writing this. That's still the reality in Ireland. So, yeah. But still, I think it was an uptick, if you will, for Claire. And one, many of us owe, says DJ, with the Samaritans so much, I'm alive and putting one foot in front of the other. Often in the words of Bob Dylan, tangled up in blue, but knowing the Samaritans are a phone call away. I mean, isn't that so life-affirming and such a splendid endorsement of the Samaritans and who you are and what you do to hear DJ saying that he knows that phone call will be like that ring you see by the sea that you throw in to help people life, you know, to swim. You know, it's a beautiful thing.
Thank you. It's lovely to hear that as well.
Great.
And I suppose just to remind people, 116123, we're here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, you know. Might take a little bit longer to get through because we are finding people are staying on a little bit longer because they need to talk for a bit longer. So, you know, bear with us.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I can tell you something. You have an enormous amount of respect from the people of Ireland if this straw poll of texts coming in or anything to go by. So please take that wind in your sails and pass it on to the fleet of volunteers that do so much good work there, Aileen, if you wouldn't mind.
Thank you. Thank you.
Lovely to talk to you. Good luck with the sea swim. Have you been in today or are you going in later?
I don't know. It's miserable here.
Is it?
Yeah.
Well, I'll send down some sun for you so you can get a swim in.
Yeah, do please. That'll
okay,
be lovely.
Okay, it's on the way. I'll put it in the post. You should have it by midday.
Thanks, Ryan.
Bye, Aileen. Lovely
right,
talking to you.
Bye-bye.
Thank you so much for your time. Aileen Spiter joining us there. The subject of, as I say, the Samaritans, and as I say, also there's great love for what they do and for that organisation. And thank you for those texts. We'll be back in a moment.